The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater and RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to the greatest show on the planet, Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I think I'm Justin Lemmy.
Yes, that's what your name tag says. I'll see it from here.
Of course.
Wearing a name tag because you had to go buy an Apple product this week.
I feel so dirty. I've taken 17 showers since that, and I still feel dirty.
All right, so for those who don't know, and if Apple is listening, while I am an Apple user, Sean is an Apple user, Justin is the flip side to that. He's a non-Apple user until he had to go buy one this week. Now, the reason you had to buy this, though, is because it's an essential piece of hardware for you.
Yeah, so we are doing a project at work where we have to redo the boardroom. So we have our board meetings with the board of directors. Nice. And we hired a company to come in to redo that whole thing. And they pitched us a really nice system. It's pretty expensive. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We got down to it and we're like, yeah, let's do it. We signed the contract. They're like, everything's in stock. We're ready to go. Oh, by the way, we need to have you give us the iPad that you're going to use to control the system.
Well, I'm like, did you do a Scooby-Doo?
Said what? I was like, does this system work with Android? And they're like, oh, no, unfortunately, it only works with our iPad. I'm like,
Why is that?
My God. I was like, this really just upset me to like no end, man. I mean, come on. You're talking about, I'm not going to name the company's names or whatever, but we're talking about a multi-million dollar company that is making a six-figure product, and it doesn't support Android.
Like, you would think it would support both, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, for the price that they're charging for this, they could hire another developer to make an Android app for their product. No, they've got to make it only Apple. So, yeah, I had to go out and buy an iPad Air. Walking into Best Buy, I felt so uncomfortable being in the Apple. I'm not lying. This is not a joke. I felt uncomfortable in the Apple section. I was trying to get the heck out of there as fast as possible. And just to save face, I went ahead and walked through the Xbox section just to, like, you know, like,
to cleanse yourself.
That's what I was here for. I was here to see the Xbox and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And you end up having to buy an iPad Air. Now, how was
I felt so dirty.
How was the deal? Did you get at least a good deal on it?
Well, no. I got literally $5.99 for the iPad and then $12 for the case.
So I they're not even Targus so case with the whatever. System, you're not even powering it off a PC or a Mac. You're basically powering it off. This iPad Air can do all of it, though. Switching and the whole bit.
Yeah, so the head unit for the audio video system, the switcher, if you will, runs Bluetooth, and this iPad will connect via Bluetooth to the switcher.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty good. I asked my daughter the other day, they were over for Halloween night, and I asked her about her drawing. She's been doing pretty good with her artwork, and she's been using an iPad to do drawing, but it broke.
Well, iPads are good for artists.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. They're good for artists, especially the iPad, Sean, what is it, the iPad Pro?
The iPad Pros are really, really good for any type of artist drawings, Wacom.
They're really
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in the stylus, too. I mean, the Wacom is great. I love Wacom. So I actually gave her one of my Wacom devices that I've had. So I said, try using this. So she's going to...
What's a Wacom?
Wacom is a drawing tablet, and they make different ones. They have the Intuos. They have the smaller Wacom tablets. And the one I had that I had bought years ago, it's a smaller tablet. And it's cool. It connects to your PC. You got a stylus. And with using programs, whether they be some of the third-party free software that's out there or even Corel, it's great with Corel if you get the suite. You can really do some powerful stuff with it.
But this tablet like runs Android or
no?
What?
I mean, it interfaces on its own software within the PC or Mac.
Oh, okay, so it's not like a true tablet.
No.
But it's more like a Okay, all right.
It's just a tablet. Now they make a product and they've got a new one out. And I was thinking of getting in touch with Doug, our friend over at Wacom, called the Cintiq. And if you've never seen the Cintiq, it is amazing. So basically, you know, instead of drawing on a tablet and you're looking up at your screen doing your drawing, you're actually drawing on the screen. Which, so you've got this Cintiq there and you're drawing. And it's amazing if you're an artist to do that. But she told me hers is broken. And so she's having a problem with the pen and, you know, using the iPad for her doing that. So I told her about iFixit. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced iFixit.
I've heard them.
They're great. I bought a kit to repair my iPad, which I have not done yet, but I have the kit. They send everything, instructions, a toolkit, the whole
bit. It's
like
the Crutchfield. It's like Crutchfield of repair stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're really good at that. But a lot of people that want to do digital drawing, they have used the iPads for that. But the Surface is just as good for Microsoft. And a lot of people have been doing that.
I have a Surface Pro 8, and I have dabbled around with the drawing tablet part of it, and it's great for what it offers. I mean, it's not as good as an iPad. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I like
it. And that, folks, is the only time I will give Apple credit.
No, you gave credit last week. We were talking about SOS and how that was a kind of a cool feature with the iPhone 14 Pro Max, which you can't find right now. The biggest story this past week, and it continues to evolve every day, there's something else. Since we did the show last week, Elon Musk now controls Twitter. And some people aren't happy about that. Some people are.
It didn't take very long for it to devolve when he kind
of... Did you say devolve?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now he is now the sole director right now.
He's the
sole
owner.
The only guy on the board.
Yeah, he's
he got
private.
Rid of the entire board.
Yeah, he owns it.
All right, so the thing is about the content filtering. What does that mean for somebody that is on Twitter? Like, how is that going to make their experience different?
You're going to see a lot of hate speech. You're going to see a lot. I mean, free speech. Everybody can say what they want, right? That's fine. But you're not free from the repercussions of what you say.
Right.
So if you say something bad... Or you say something, you know, take Kanye West, for example, right? He's going off the deep end, too.
Yeah.
He's tweeting all this anti-Semitic stuff and a bunch of other stuff. And now he's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. Trying to backtrack all this stuff when Adidas dropped him and all stuff. So the fact that Twitter did censor some of that and banned people and, you know, restricted some people's content because they were tweeting. Whether it was hate crimes or hate speech or hate fueled, whatever, those people are back.
It's funny because I'm surprised at how many people have said, that's it, I'm done. And they posted on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done with it.
I'm announcing that I'm going to leave this group and then I'm going to hang around and wait till people say about leaving this group.
Exactly.
It's like just virtual signaling.
I don't get it. Is Twitter that important?
No.
Do you think it really makes a bit? Because me, I look at it like, yeah, we use Twitter. We're on there. We post stuff. You might be reading this from or listening to our show from a link on Twitter. It's there. If you want to check it out, you can check it out. If you don't, you don't. That's how I feel about Twitter.
The way I look at it is what's that old saying? You are what you eat or whatever in a way. Like Twitter will give you the stuff that you're interested in and the people that you follow.
Right.
If you start following people that are, what's the word I'm looking for here? They're on the edge.
You're not into.
Well, no, I mean, you might be into. Yeah. Fringe groups or somebody who is known to start problems with other people, then you're going to start to see the cesspool that is Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't. Like, I literally just started unfollowing everybody on Twitter because I wanted a fresh start. And I followed, I refollowed some of the people. There was this one, it was like Tech Talk Radio. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to follow that.
Oh, really?
No.
Thanks.
Yeah. Go follow Tech Talk Twitter. Anyway, no, but there was like crypto groups when I was back, you know, I was getting into crypto and stuff. And so I'd follow them. So for like me, when I go to Twitter, I don't really see all the stuff. So like, what I'm trying to say is you kind of bring it on yourself.
What you're going to get.
You're curating. Curating what you're going to see, just like with any other social media. So if you're like, well, Twitter is just full of hate speech, that's because you're following people that are inviting that kind of topic into your life. So maybe you should just, I don't know, not do that.
And it's a morbid curiosity, right? I want to know what they're saying so I can either be offended or I can just have the knowledge of what they said. But now you're in the algorithm, you're going to get more of that.
But I think don't understand that they do have control over what they can see and what they can't see. Now,
to a certain point.
To a certain extent. Like I remember there was some people on Twitter. I didn't want to follow that. I didn't want to read anything about them. They were big in the news, and I'm like, I don't want it. So you block the keyword. You block the profile. You block when that subject or that name is mentioned. There are a lot of people out there that are using social media. I'm not talking just Twitter. I'm talking Instagram. I'm talking Facebook. I'm talking Snap. That have no idea that they can control, number one, what they're going to see by how they manage their profile. There, for example, on Instagram, I have noticed that I get a lot of that spam connections and I will call them hoochie mamas, right? Where I will suddenly get a hoochie mama following me. And I know, and I'm not being sexist, but I will call it a hoochie mama because I will go through, oh, who's this person? And I'll look at who they're following or what this person is. And it's a bunch of shots of her in her bikini with a link to her OnlyFans or a link to some other adult cam site. And I'll see that there is somebody that I'm following that is following this person. Because that person is accepted and followed that person, and they're on my friends list, they now attach to their friends. So I'm getting that as well. The only thing I can do is block every time I see one of those. And I'm blocking 2-3 times a day. And generally they come from that same user. And I'm at that point, is that person who follows me and I follow them and they're in the industry, the broadcasting industry, is it really that important that I follow them? Because all it's doing is dragging that element to my feed.
Sure. Yeah. No, you're completely right in understanding how the algorithm works. And that's how social media works. They don't care. They just want you to spend more time on the platform so they can give you more advertising. So they're going to give you whatever you want. I mean, there was that Netflix documentary or whatever it was called.
Oh, that was so good.
You know, the social, what was it called again?
The social dilemma.
Yeah, and it was great because we got the guy that played the computer of Facebook and he was like, send him another ad. He hasn't been on in 12 hours. Send him another notification, you know? And it's like, that's what they do. They just want you to stay on the platform. But at the same time, with like things like, Twitter and whatever, but the new part of this whole Elon Musk story was that today, or as the time of this recording, he also announced that he was like, hey, if you want to be, you know, all these, I think what he called it, the Lord and Peasant system.
Lord and Peasant system, yeah. Of the blue check mark.
Of the blue check mark. And it's like, this is all BS. He literally is like, this is BS. And if you want your own blue check mark, we'll give it to you for eight. Well, I think initially he said 15 or 20 bucks.
Originally, it was going to be 20 bucks a month.
Yeah, and then people were like, even Stephen King was like, I'm going to leave Twitter if that's the case. And then Elon personally responded to him, was like, what about $8 a month or something? And he was like, no, it's not the price. It's just the principle of the matter. It's like, oh, so now we're like, oh, it's the same thing with all these rich people. It's like they're NIMBYs, not in my backyard. Yeah. You know, they feel this social status class that makes them feel so superior to everybody else. And if what Elon was saying is the reasoning behind the paying for the blue check marks, and I don't know all the details, but he said in a tweet, this is the only way to defeat the bots and trolls. And that's going against what you were talking about, all these people, these hoochie mamas are following you because they're just bots. They're not real people. No, they're just bots. Yeah. And so he's saying by having people pay for their blue check mark somehow, some way, this is going to defeat the bots and trolls. I don't know.
Wondering, though, is this going to carry over into other social media platforms? You know, there are people that are so now you start getting a lot of the posts on Facebook where they say, okay, Facebook is rolling out a paid platform now. It'll be $6 a month for this and $8
a month.
Those are not real. But it makes you wonder if Elon is the first to do this with Twitter, by saying it. And let me ask you guys, we're not blue check marked. Does it really matter?
No.
To a certain extent, though, because what happens is, so say somebody comes along and there are, and, you know, we have an LLC. We went for copyright, you know, protection on the Tech Talk Radio trademark. There are other people that are using Tech Talk Radio out there. But what is to stop somebody to suddenly Tech Talk Radio blue check mark? Because we decided it's not worth the $8 a month.
That's a good point.
So it protects a brand. Now you have to pay for that protection. You don't get it because you verified who you are. You verified what you do for a living. You verified the information that you're putting out there. And Elon's coming along saying, "Yeah, we don't care. Pay for it if you really think it's that important."
I think there's got to be something in place, though, that could prevent somebody from just stealing your identity on social media, paying for the blue check mark, and now they're literally you. I think there's got to be something.
You would think, but I think what they had in place was good. Just fix it. But now they're having to pay for it, and people are saying, "I'm not going to pay for it." But the danger is then you get somebody like, I'm just going to say John Candy with a blue check mark. Obviously, Mr. Candy's no longer with us, but suddenly you have a John Candy with a blue check mark.
That would be a Twitter that I would follow. If John Candy came back with a blue check mark and I was like, "Whoa, he's tweeting from the other side," I'll follow him.
Exactly. But I mean, it's the dilemma, the social dilemma right now.
The social dilemma, yeah.
And, you know, are people going to pay for it? I don't know. Some people are saying this is the death of Twitter till something else comes along. If you remember, they were saying the same thing about MySpace. And people were saying, "No, MySpace is not going anywhere."
Actually, what you just said right there brings me to as a point that I heard on Reddit about this. Elon buying Twitter is the catalyst of all social media dying. Because if you look at the current state of social media, you've got, well, obviously, Elon's buying Twitter, right? Or bought Twitter.
Yeah.
You've got Facebook that, or Meta, whatever you want to call them, they've lost billions of dollars on this.
$700 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, on this stupid metaverse.
Right.
They're basically barely keeping their head above water, and that includes Instagram and WhatsApp, okay, because they're all owned by Meta. Then who else do you got left? TikTok? Chinese-owned company? What else?
You got Snapchat.
Gab.
Well, yeah. Snapchat,
Parler.
Sure.
Yeah. Parler, yeah.
Parler, yeah, but again, they're not anywhere near the level
Magneto
as these guys. So I'm wondering, is this the death of social media?
You know, I don't know. As we've gotten older, and I know there's a lot of you adults that are listening to this, and like I say, we are on Facebook. We get a lot of visitors, a lot of people that like some of the stuff that's on there, and that's why we do it, because, well, hopefully you enjoy it and you like the show. But as we've gotten older, I think a lot of us, Sean, you've been the first one to drop out of Facebook completely.
Not just Facebook, all social media.
Yeah. How did you feel about that? I mean, we talked about it when you finally said, "That's it, I'm out." Did it make your life a little easier?
Yeah, it was weird because you don't realize how much time you actually spend on it. Mm-hmm. You don't think about it. Right. And I think this was right after they had the screen app tracking time on the iPhone, the iOS, right? And Caitlin has it on her iPhone, and you don't realize how much time you spend on it. And you don't realize how quickly a half an hour here, a half an hour there goes by while you're scrolling. And so for me, getting rid of it wasn't, as a person who creates content, right? I do a lot of photo and video work, right? So people liked my work. People liked seeing my pictures. People liked seeing my videos, right? And I felt compelled to continue to post stuff all the time. And I felt this dread of, well, what if I don't post something this week? What if people don't like my – what if I take this picture and people don't like it? What if I take this video and it doesn't get shared and people don't like it? And then I was just like, why do I care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just literally told Caitlin, I was like, look, it's getting toxic on Facebook. I don't want to lose some friends over what they think are their, you know, they are posting their political beliefs on Facebook or their political leanings on Facebook. And I don't necessarily agree with everything. And I can't, I'm never going to agree with all my friends or all my family on anything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're entitled to their own opinions. I just don't care about their opinions in some sense. Right.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know what, Caitlin, I'm just going to deactivate my Facebook. And she's like, that's fine. So I did. I just deactivated it. Didn't delete it because I still use Facebook Messenger to keep in touch with friends groups and some of the other groups that I'm a part of and some work-related stuff. And so I can still use Facebook Messenger, but you can't find me on Facebook.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't find me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. The only social media I have is a LinkedIn, and that's just strictly for work.
That's professional.
Professional connections. And Snapchat.
Right. And Snapchat is a good way to keep in touch for direct you, because you could control who you follow, who follows you, the whole bit.
Yeah, it's literally, I take a picture of Max and I send it to my cousin's group, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like they don't, and you guys, like you and Justin are on there, right? So that's really it. And, you know, I still find myself going to Twitter occasionally. I don't have a Twitter anymore, but I find myself going to Twitter when I see something about like when Tennessee beat Alabama, two weekends ago in football, right? I just wanted to see what the reaction was from the crowd. Where do you go for the quickest links and information for something? It's Twitter, right?
Yeah.
You go to Twitter, you search Alabama, it's going to populate. Oh, here's 15 links about the last 30 seconds of the game, highlights and stuff. So I do find it useful at times, but I'm not engaging on the content.
Right? I think
I'm only going there for the things that I want when I want it.
Do you think a lot of the youth, though, that is 15, 16, 17, and maybe early 20s are getting onto Facebook and saying, do I really need this? I think they're finding other ways.
You're seeing a trend, right? You're seeing a trend of that instant gratification of Facebook takes too much time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to sit here and I have to think about something that I want to put on the internet. Picture. Okay. Then I got to type something about it. Then I got to post it. Then I got to manage it. Right?
Yeah.
TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, it's click, a couple hashtags, you're done.
Yeah.
Facebook, mm-hmm. You see these trends, right? So you saw it with Vine, like speaking of this.
Vine. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was Elon's back.
Trying to resurrect Vine, right? Vine was the original reels, shorts, you know?
Yeah.
You see this, one place does it, it gains a lot of market share. And the others follow to get those people back onto their platform.
Before Vine, you had 12 seconds. And I liked 12 seconds. And I was bummed when 12 seconds went away.
I've never heard of that.
12 seconds was cool. We even had the CEO on our show before, back when they first came out. And then, sadly, within a short amount of time, they went away. And Shaquille O'Neal was one of those that was always on 12 seconds. It was 12-second videos. That was that concept. Huh. Make them short. And it's funny because... make them short. That everybody wanted longer. Instagram, Facebook, they all wanted longer video posts.
Right, but it's not. So you have to think about this too. It's like all this short form content, right? It's like it's entertaining because it's short form content. But then you have the things like Quora, or the other short form tent, whatever the companies they tried to do the
Quibi, Quibi or something.
Quibi, right? Watch these 10 minute episodes. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that type of content in short form. It has to be dumb slapstick comedy or dumb things that just are hilarious that you want to come back to watch for. Because
when I watch reels, I watch reels a lot. You know, just if I'm sitting there and I got some downtime and they make me happy, especially the ones with little pets or the kids, you know, because, you know, we think of our grandkids and stuff, you know, and we'll watch those. Those, the short ones are the ones that, oh, that was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. When you run into a longer video that wants you to click a link to see the full video, I'm like, I'm not interested.
So, you know, one of the things that I like to do personally, I like to watch YouTube at night, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, does anybody else remember? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah.
When YouTube videos were on average 3 to 4 minutes long, 5 minutes maybe at the most. You got a 10-minute video, you're like, oh my God, that's long.
Yeah.
Now, every single video is either 10 minutes or 20 minutes or even 30 minutes long.
But YouTube is investing in shorts. They want short films. They want those people that are watching Reels or Facebook Reels to start watching YouTube shorts.
I don't watch YouTube on my phone. I watch it on my big screen. I want to be able to catch a topic. I want to be able to learn about a topic. But I find myself, when it gets to the wee hours of the night before I go to bed, I find myself scrolling through and going, man, I really want to watch this, but it's too long because I got to go to bed soon. So then I'm like, I scroll through and I'm like, all right, okay, fine, whatever. Here's a 10-minute video. I'll watch this one.
I like,
but it's like,
you know, it's the same thing.
I like YouTube because there is no alt. You either watch something you're looking for. I want to figure out how to put in a microwave, or I want to figure out, I want to watch a show on how to reformat a hard drive, or I want to watch a movie with ads. I can watch a movie. I can watch a full movie on YouTube, which anybody can do. There's lots of movies on there, lots of TV shows, the whole bit for free. Yeah, I gotta watch some ads to do it. But I mean, there's no people interjecting like you do on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or the other social media. So, you know, Facebook is still the number one platform for even those teenagers, even those that are in their 20s. It's the number one platform people watch content and catch content on is YouTube. You know, from Google, they've done it right for years, and now they're trying to move to the short form, hoping that short form, like they want us to do short forms. They want us to do clips, and maybe people will watch it and then subscribe, and that's what they want, you know? So I don't know. You know, I'll be honest with you guys.
That's another thing too. Every YouTube video, like and subscribe. Make sure to like and subscribe to this video if you want more. It's like every video.
For those that don't know, you need to have 1,000 subscribers to be able to monetize your feed.
Yep.
If you notice, we don't. Is that what we don't make
so
any money?
Like and subscribe. Making some money.
No, we don't. But I'm not going to fight and create content just to get subscribers. If it's good, it'll be there. And, you know, that's our TV stuff and other stuff that we do. But honestly, it's just such a battle with social media. Justin, I kind of wonder, are you right? Is social media going to just pretty much fade away? I finally removed the app Be Real. Be Real is a great idea. I love it. But the fact is, if you don't post a picture every day, the next day you got to post two. Or the next day you're going to probably end up posting three. After. And I said, you know what? This is too much. It's too much. I had a good amount of subscribers, but I just said, or people following, and then, I don't care. It's too much work to do. And that's the thing. I want to watch something. I want to be entertained. I want to be informed. And I will pick and choose. And I can do that with YouTube.
Yeah,
and I can do that with Twitter. But remember, you have a responsibility to your followers to make sure you're not bringing in people that are going to infect your list and suddenly attach to them. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
All right, which one are you going to go with, Justin?
I got to go with I'm Justin Lemmon. You can find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey guys, it's Tim Havelock, aka Darkness429. You can find me over at facebook.com/Darkness429, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
We all like to build our own computers.
Yes.
And Justin upgraded. I upgraded.
I upgraded.
Andy, you upgraded. So, have either of you thought about buying a 4090?
Yeah. Because I'm running, a 1080. And I just couldn't find the 3080s at the time, because it was during the pandemic. And if you wanted a 3080, it was going to cost you about three grand. It was like outrageous. But now that the manufacturing of the processors, the chips have come down, I've been thinking about, okay, just bypass the 3080 and go for the 4090.
If you bought a 4090, if you got your hands on one, there's a problem.
Uh-oh.
The 16-pin connector, right? The 16-pin?
Right. Yeah, the 16. Yeah,
the power connector.
The 16-pin power connector, if bent improperly, will start to melt and could cause a fire.
I wonder if there's been any cases where people's PCs have gone up in smoke and caught the house on fire.
I'm sure there's been some, but it seems to be run down to there are two versions of the 16-pin cable. Whether they were different lot numbers or different manufacturers, one is soldered poorly, the other is not.
Oh.
So the one that is soldered poorly has a less of a bend tolerance. Bend tolerance means the further you bend it, the worse the problem gets. So most people know if you build your own PC, cable management is a must. So getting that cable just right, just to fit, if your case is too small, you might have to bend it, right? So you could just Google 4090 melting, and you're going to find pictures of melted power connectors, bad soldering. I mean, it's bad. So
that's not a good.
What can people do?
Not good on NVIDIA's side, but
no,
it seems to be, you know, just two different versions of the 16-pin adapter, and you just get either get lucky or you don't. I mean, it's
what can people do in this case? Like, say they bought
there's
one.
A replacement, right?
I don't know. You can return them to NVIDIA,
right?
But I mean, it's still kind of being it's kind of still being uncovered at this point. So
let me ask you guys. Okay, you know, we fall into that hype when it comes to. And obviously, good reason. There's a lot of good people out there that do the reviews and talk about, you know, whether it's, you know, the RTX 3080, the 3070, 3090, whatever. Now the 4000 series. But like, do we fall into like there are options like the Radeon series 7000? You know, you're talking about these new RDNA 3 GPUs that people are saying, you know what, it's a good graphics card, good processor, good chip. Mm-hmm. At a very reasonable price. Do we fall into that? Oh, because it's more expensive, it's going to be better? Is that always the case? I mean, Justin, you just recently went AMD. You know, well, yeah. As your motherboard, you're fine with it, right?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I don't even really think about it anymore. I mean, the computer's just, it's amazing. I mean, although truth be told, I really don't get a chance to sit down here and play on this computer as much as I used to. And so I kind of feel bad for that. Like, I'm just letting this amazing processor and graphics card and motherboard just kind of go to waste. I'm not playing on it as much as I want to.
Which graphics card do you have? You have the 30?
Well, I got the 2080 Ti.
Right. Which is good. The Ti indicates that that's kind of a step above. It's good for gaming, the whole bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the top of the line of the 2000 series. Yeah.
But now that you've gone AMD, and I think we may have talked about this before, would you consider your next graphics card update to go AMD and go with a Radeon?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've run a Radeon before and I liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it really, honestly, you know what? This is decades. This is a decades long battle. NVIDIA and Intel make something good. They get to the top of the rank. Everybody's like, oh, NVIDIA and Intel. And then all of a sudden, AMD creeps up behind them and says, oh, we got something better. And then everybody goes in AMD for a while. And then NVIDIA comes out and says something else. And they're like, they got the next one. It just goes back and forth, back and forth. However, I want to say for like the past 10, 12 years, Intel and NVIDIA have really just had that stranglehold on the market, and AMD has been struggling to come up with something, and they finally have done it, you know, with the new, what is it? I'm on the Ryzen 9 5800,
right?
5900. I'm the second to the top of the line for Ryzen right now. The second, the top of the line is like the 5950, and they finally come out with it, and it's like half the price, better performance than, well, the same performance is nearly the very top of the line as in Intel, but it's like half the price.
I was talking.
It's sometimes great. Half the power.
Well,
half the power too. I'm saving like about 100 watts. I've got a kilowatt. You know that little dongle thing that you plug in and it tells you how much power you're using.
Yeah,
I'm basically saving about 100 watts.
There's a lot of confusion for consumers out there. Those that are listening right now, that are going, yeah, I want to upgrade my computer. I've talked to people before and I've said, well, you know, you have a couple ways you can go. I've got a guy recently, he has Windows XP on an old Core 2 Duo Intel machine. And
sure.
I finally talked him into upgrading. All right, it's time. You need to update. And the guy was saying, I can't run Google Chrome. And I said, of course not. And then I made the mistake of telling him you could run Opera. Opera will run under Windows XP.
Oh, dude.
That was a mistake of mine. I shouldn't have given him an alternative. Said, no, just update. So finally, he's going to do it at the end of the year. But we got into the discussion. And he runs special software. But the problem is, back when that special software came out, it all said, what did it all say? It said, you need an Intel processor. The problem is, AMD got cut short in a lot of those because your AMD processor could run some of this stuff. Most of this stuff. So people are still in that mindset. You tell them AMD, they think, oh, I'm going cheap. I'm sorry, Intel, I love your processors, but it's going to be Celeron. You know, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like compared to everything else that they have, there are a lot of people who are afraid to update or upgrade to an AMD machine because, well, I heard Intel is the way to go because they have all these ads that are out there.
Yeah, they definitely have the market share and they have the owner. They have ownership of the media around the PR. They do a better job of PR, right?
This is the way Apple works, too. They've got more marketing budget.
It's a great comparison.
It is, actually. It really it's probably the truth. You find that with all kinds of products, cars, even the same thing. You know, who has the bigger ad budget for a car?
Toyota.
You know, a car might be great, but you
Toyota
might not, yeah.
by far has the biggest ad budget. You see more Toyota ads per capita than you do for any other car manufacturer.
Right. So it's money spent, but people don't have to worry anymore about, do they have to worry anymore that maybe they've got a POS software or they've got a graphic software they want
and
to use.
What he means is point of sale, not piece of blank.
Yes, thank you for clarifying. But yeah. But they have a software that they need to use, and it may recommend an Intel processor. That does not mean they can't use an AMD processor on it, because AMD puts out pretty good product.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've been happy with
totally.
It.
Totally. I've been happy with it. I'm a happy customer.
I've been extremely happy with mine, too.
I've not been AMD for a while. I did upgrade to Intel, and I've been happy with it, so I could say that. But it is time to upgrade the second computer in the home that does not get a lot of use, but I'm thinking might as well go AMD on it. Why not?
Wait, so hold up. I'm just now thinking about this. Is Intel to AMD as Apple is to Android?
That's tough. That's tough because there's a lot of products in that. You know, Android has a lot of different products, but Android works with Microsoft. You got Windows 11. You can use. Have you done that yet, Justin?
I'm on Windows 11.
You got Windows 11. Have you got the Android app so you can actually run your apps right there on Windows 11? Some people don't even know it can do that.
I did not know it could do that.
Yes, you've got an Android interface that you can actually run your apps under Windows 11. Can't do it with Apple products, which is
kind of
a shame. But you can with Android if you're running Windows 11.
You could have done it
with 10, right?
You can't say that you can't do that with Apple products. You can.
Of course you can.
Not on a Windows machine.
Boot camp.
Oh, yeah, boot camp.
But if you have a new MacBook or an M1 or an M2 chip, it'll run iOS and iPad apps natively.
Right. I'm talking about Windows machines.
Yeah, these are two different manufacturers.
I can't interface my iPhone with Windows and be able to run some of those apps under Windows.
Yeah.
But with Android, you can.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was one of the sales points for me that thought, maybe it's time to go Android. Although I've fallen in love with my iPhone 14 Pro Max.
Yeah, don't say
it. I have. But I
don't say it.
I'm so
it,
frustrated because I've got.
Come to the light side.
Apple sent me this and they said, you can use it till April. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to use it till April. I want to send it back to them, but I want to buy my own. So I have own iPhone 14 Pro Max.
No.
Why, tell me, does Apple not have these phones in the marketplace?
Because you were holding on to one of them.
Yeah, I don't get that part. I want to. They sent me one. They let me use it, and I'm using it. But I want to buy one. I can't buy one. I can't go to Verizon. They won't have them until the 11th. I can't go to Costco. They don't have them. But they have an abundance of the folio.
Why? You know why they're doing it?
Tell me.
Why they're doing that for you too?
To create marketplace love.
First off, they're going to get you addicted to it. They're going to get you to the point where you can't live without it because you're so used to it. And you've got a radio show that will talk about their product.
And how much I love it?
Exactly.
And how I'm really bummed I can't own my own?
Exactly. And then you, ipso facto, create demand.
Well, so they're doing it just
because they're like,
of me.
Well, heck, if Andy Taylor's got one, I better get one myself. Mabel, let's get in the car and go to the Apple Store.
I did find it to be rather interesting that Verizon sent me an email the other day. Because, yeah, you can't get them from Verizon. They're on back order. They sent me an email saying it's time to upgrade. Because it knows I had the iPhone 8. And it's saying it's time to upgrade. You can now upgrade to the newest iPhone 12 for free. $0.
12.
And the thing is, okay, so I go ahead and upgrade to the iPhone 12 with their new unlimited plan. They haven't got me to go for unlimited yet. Because most of the time I use my iPhone, I'm around Wi-Fi. So I don't rely on that connection and getting unlimited. I still have a limited 5 gigabyte plan. I never go over. It's fine because I'm using it under that. They want me to spend the extra money to go that way. But now I could get the iPhone 12 for free. But I'm going to wait. And
so hold up. You're going to go from an iPhone 14 that you've got for free right now down to an iPhone 12.
Absolutely
not. And
you're
going to hate it.
No, absolutely not. Because the reason I like the iPhone 14 Pro Max is the weight, the feel, the camera system, and the battery. You're not going to get that with the iPhone 12. The battery life, I'm at 48%. I've been using it all day. And
one
I love
other
it.
Thing I... One other thing I got to mention about Apple, are they going to add on any extra portion to the name? I mean, seriously, it was iPhone, right? Uh-huh. Then it was iPhone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. Then it's iPhone, 10. Then it's iPhone 11. Then it's iPhone 11 Max. Then it's iPhone 11 Max Pro. Like, what's next? iPhone 14 Max Pro Plus extended?
It's a little confusing because you have...
I mean, come on.
You do have the iPhone 14... Plus, and then you have the iPhone 14 Pro, which are both great devices. Both
and then
have
you
SOS,
have the Pro Max.
And then you have the Pro Max, which is top of the line.
What's next? Pro Max Extended? Pro Max Plus?
No, it'll be the iPhone 15. It'll be the iPhone 15, and they're already talking about it.
Yeah, iPhone 15 Pro Max Plus Extended.
Crew cab.
Crew cab, yeah. 4x4.
All right, we come back. I'll actually tell you about a problem I had with this iPhone. Turns out a lot of other people have gone through it and have no idea why, but I will tell you what I found out. I had to go onto YouTube with the Android device that I still had that worked so I could look it up. So we'll do that coming up with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the web, techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
I had a big mistake with my iPhone 14 Pro Max this week, which I'm testing. Apple sent it over. I've got to say that, just so you know. And I've never had this before with any of my previous Apple products. And again, I was using the iPhone 8 before, and I was perplexed. Has this ever happened to you? I like that look on Justin's face.
Hasn't happened to Justin.
So, I'm like, do tell.
So the other day, I'm getting ready. Halloween night, I'm getting ready. You know, the kids are going to come over. They're going to bring the grandkid, my little grandson, August, for his first Halloween. I haven't seen him in like months. And I vacuumed the house. I put my phone in my pocket and I'm vacuuming the house. I'm cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning the kitchen, putting stuff away, hiding stuff in closets. So that way, you know, it doesn't look like my house is a shambles. And I finally get a moment to sit down. And I sit down and I take my phone out of my pocket and I look and it says, iPhone unavailable. Try again in 1 hour. I said 49 minutes. I'm like,
what the heck is unlock it a bunch of times.
What the heck is this? So I turned it off. I turned it back on. iPhone unavailable. Try again in an hour. Yeah. And every time I turned it off, it reset it to an hour. So I was clueless. What the heck is this? I've never experienced this before. Number one, they don't have the, so you know, the iPhone does not have the fingerprint sensor anymore. You can't use, you have Face ID or you could enter a code. So I went with the Face ID. I'm not a big fan of that, but, so I ended up having to find, Verizon had sent us over the Samsung Z4 Fold. So I take that phone out and I open it up. I plug it. I got 50% power. All right, now I got to look online to figure out what's going on. So I go to Google. I go do it. I finally get the phone set up. I go to iPhone unavailable, right? And it says exactly what you just said, Justin. It tried to log in to the phone with my Face ID. I must have hit it while I was cleaning, and it tried to turn on. I never never signed in. After seven tries, it locks you out for an hour. What are you laughing at, Justin?
I can't do this. I want to say something so bad, but it's not radio friendly.
Send it to me in chat. I got to see this.
Okay.
So I had to wait for a whole hour. Now, your option is, and they say that this could get really bad. If you have an infant like Sean, right?
Oh, yeah. Max has already tried to tap on the screen a bunch.
And if they do it and keep doing it, right, trying to log in and enter, it can actually log you out for a month or even longer. There are stories, I guess, and I had never experienced this, where they said it locked people out. They locked people. Justin! Justin! It's just wrong. We cannot share what he just sent me via the text. Oh, boy. I put it in my shirt
pocket.
Face
ID.
My shirt pocket, Justin. That's horrific. But so in case you get that iPhone unavailable, you got to wait. You don't have to erase all your data. Just wait the hour. But I mean, sitting for an hour, because Verizon sent me
the... You can't use your phone.
No. And Verizon sent me the phone without a SIM card. So I have no phone access. So I had to get onto my Skype to call, because I had a meeting to call and say, listen, I'm not going to be able to make the meeting just now. Just give me a little time. But either way, if that happens to you, that's why. I don't know why they do that. I guess the thing to do would be to turn off.
It's a security thing, right?
Yeah.
I think you could disable that part of it.
Right. But
yeah, if somebody tries to log into your phone, they try to brute force it, right?
Sure. Yeah. It'll it's got to do that.
For,
absolutely.
But yeah, like if Max got a hold of my phone and started just punching numbers in randomly, I've seen images on the internet of people getting locked out for years on their phones because the kid just kept punching in
numbers.
Doesn't
it also, if you type in your password incorrectly or try to unlock it a bunch of times, doesn't it take a screen or a photo of front-facing camera? Doesn't it take... Ooh. I thought iPhone did that, where if you kept typing in the password incorrectly, it would take a photo of whoever was looking at the phone at that moment, and it would save it into your iCloud so you could... you know, see it in the future.
That's
like you can
actually
see who was.
That's a good idea.
I think it
I don't
does.
Know if
I
it does.
It, I thought it does.
I do know that this even calls for more that if you are using an iPhone, do your iCloud backups, because if I did decide to erase the data, I would be able to restore it after resetting the phone to its original thing. And also, I do like the eSIM that's on this. The eSIM is a great feature.
Yeah, the eSIM is a new kind of technology, isn't it?
Yeah, so I can, like, when I do buy my own iPhone 14 Pro Max and it's time for me to switch, I can go ahead, just hook both phones. I don't even hook them up together. I just do an iSIM transfer. I don't even have to call Verizon to have them take care of the phone number portion of it. It'll do it. So with this one, I did. Now, if I decide to go back to the iPhone 8, I do have to go back into a Verizon store and they have to redo the SIM on that with my phone number. So, I mean, the experience has been good. I will give you that. The photos have been miraculous, just amazing. And speaking of photos, we got to talk about a video that was shared by Sean that he took. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You went to do a time lapse and you forgot you had set the camera up.
Since I've been doing the show, you guys know I love time lapses, and I've shared them on the show, and I've told people how to do them and all that stuff. So I do a time lapse for every home football game at Notre Dame. I set it up the night before or the morning of.
GoPro,
and I let it run for about 24 to 48 hours and put it together. It's usually a cool deal.
Which GoPro are you using?
Three Plus, Hero 3 Plus.
Great camera.
Oh, wow. So, that's an older one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. They look great. I mean, I have no reason to upgrade. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love to upgrade, but
My boss from this station, KGVY, good old Chet, he actually gave me his GoPro Hero 3. He's like, I'm never going to use it, and it's old. And I was like, okay, thanks, boss. I took it. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah, so I use it for time lapses, and it's the same camera I'm using for the video portion of this podcast. So I set it up the morning of the Stanford game, and I let it run. Okay, and then so I didn't work Sunday, so I didn't take it down. And then I didn't work Monday or Tuesday because I had some time off. And so I forgot. So I come in Wednesday and I'm like, oh man, I forgot. I hope it's still running. And I got busy at work and I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
I went home. Then it was Thursday night. And I go home from work. I'm like, I forgot. So I said, you know what? Just screw it. I'm going to leave it up. I'm going to let it run through the UNLV game the next Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I let it run that Saturday. Didn't work Sunday. Didn't work Monday. Came back in Tuesday. Forgot. Went back in Wednesday. I was like, I have to go get this camera down. It's probably dead. It's probably the memory card's probably full. So I run up there and I go grab it. And it had 800 pictures left on it. That's all it was going to be able to take.
Wow.
I had 128 gig memory card in there.
So how many photos did it end up taking to create this stitch, this time lapse?
About 31,000, just over 31,000 images.
Over,
I was taking
guess
a picture
40.
Every 30 seconds.
I was going to guess 11 40, days. 40, yeah. That time lapse is amazing. And if you haven't, if you've never seen a really cool time lapse, and remember, shot with the Hero 3, which is, what's the quality on that? Is that full HD?
Well, so it's, I don't remember, it's 12 megapixel. It's technically 4K because the size of the is still images, right? So it renders out at 4K.
All right, so you can see this. It's on our blog now at blog.techtalkradio.com. It is amazing. It really came out great, Sean.
The portion of the games I kept at the same speed, but the sections between the games I sped up by 2,000%. Because there was no way. So I laid it down on the timeline at the normal rate I do my time lapses, which is 24 pictures a second, because that's your normal film speed rate. It was going to be 17 and a half minutes long.
Yeah. Wow. All right. We got to take another quick break. We come back. We've got what, website of the week, got a product of the week. I'm leaving it up to you guys with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemme. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
All right, looks like I had to come up with a website of the week for you guys.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. This is just a website to waste some time on. There's no value to it. But I do want to mention, if you're looking to buy computer parts, Justin and Sean, both you've purchased through them. You've gone on there and shopped. Give us that website one more time. This one is a helpful website.
PC Part Picker.
There you go, PCPartPicker.com. Yeah,
all right, you can pick what you want to do. You can build your own system very easily.
And even if you don't know how to build a system, like you're like, I want to build a computer, but I have not the first idea what to buy, you can go to PCPartPicker.com. You can type in a budget of like, okay, I've got $2,000 to spend. Boom, it will show you all the completed builds that other people have done within your budget, and then you can choose from then. Say, you know what? That one looks nice.
Yeah.
Because they show pictures as well.
Yeah, what I like about it is you say, hey, I've got, say some, you get a processor as a gift, right? You get a AMD Ryzen 5 3500. You can plug that in, and it's going to give you compatible parts. It's going to give you a motherboard that's compatible. It's going to give you RAM that's compatible. It's going to give you a case that's compatible for the motherboard that you're going to have to get. So it's very good, and I use it all the time. A friend of mine comes and says, hey, I want to build a computer. Tell me what your budget is, right? Go to PC Part Picker, put in your budget, right? Let's figure out what you want. What do you want to do with the computer? Do you want to play games? Do you want to browse the web? Do you want to stream videos? Do you want to edit videos, right? All that changes, right? So PC Part Picker is hands down the best place to get that information.
All right. There's one. That's a helpful one. Here's one that's not helpful, but if you ever need it, Justin, I know you needed this when you went to Best Buy to go buy this Apple product that you were like, it's called screamintothevoid.com. You go on there. Okay. You basically type your feelings, whatever it be, like anger. All right. And then there's a button and there's scream. Hit the button. And you've just screamed into the void. So there you go. All right. So scream into the void.
A little bit of therapy.
A little bit of therapy might help you out. In the meantime, I want to remind you to check out our YouTube page at Tech Talk Radio. You can find all kinds of our stuff. We're going to be doing more videos on there as well. More short videos, because that's the way to go. All of that there, again, at Tech Talk Radio on YouTube. In the meantime, I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemme.
See you next time.
Man, how does he do that with his voice?